Dear fellow ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Creator and the Holy Spirit our sustainer and guide. Amen. My name is Susan Kittner. I'm a Lutheran pastor. Presbyterians and Lutherans have pulpit and altar fellowship, so it's okay for me to be here. And I can honestly say this is the first time I've ever been in a congregation that already had the steps I needed in the places I needed because of one of your pastors on staff. So thank you very much. I was born and raised in Port Angeles, Washington, which is west of Seattle, right in the middle of the north coast of the Olympic Peninsula, right across from Victoria, BC. Most people know it because they have to wait forever for that ferry. My parents came out in the Coast Guard from Indiana, and they liked it so much that they stayed, especially, the legend goes, after they had their first experience of fresh Dungeness crab. I attended Pacific Lutheran University in Tacoma and Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary in Berkeley, a sister school to San Francisco Theological Seminary, the Presbyterian school, and was ordained in 1980, which in the Lutheran Church is dinosaur years ago. I've served three parishes and as a hospital chaplain, and for the last 12 years as the assistant to the bishop for the Lutheran Church in Oregon. And I will conclude that call at the end of this month. I'm 65 years old, and I'm at that place in life where it's really nice to have new experiences. And this is the very first time I've ever been invited to preach with the Presbyterian congregation. So I'm just thrilled. Thank you very much. Some of my best friends are Presbyterians. Really. And two uncles and their families, Uncle Burton and Uncle Elgin from Elkhart in Knoxville, Tennessee, were good Presbyterian members. And like we said before, Sister Luke, who directs the program for Women Touched by Grace, knows we're together today and expects photographic proof. So that's why I was taking a picture during the first hymn to prove to her that we are together. I love birds. I love actual birds, bird books, bird cards, bird punches. I grew up in a home that had bird feeders and binoculars and field guides. And as children are wont to do, we think every home is like the home we grew up in. I expected every other home also had bird feeders, binoculars, and field guides. And it's been a disappointment in my life to discover how untrue that is. I was in Florida 10 years ago for a conference, and we were on the Gulf side, and several of us were invited to a private home for dinner at sunset with a pink sky and the tide going out on the shallow beach and dozens of shorebirds feeding that I could not recognize. So I was a polite guest, but I did a visual inventory for the bird book and the binoculars, and there weren't any. And I was shocked. When I got back to my hotel room with my computer and the World Wide Web, I discovered I'd been looking at storks. We don't have anything like that in the Northwest. I recommend a book to you titled Crow Planet. Crow Planet by a Seattle author, Leanda Lynn Haupt, H-A-U-P-T. She's a naturalist and has written several books. And in this one, she writes about becoming a naturalist to her neighborhood. Always before, she'd packed up the car and gone hiking and camping. But when she and her husband had their first child, those options became somewhat limited. And she realized that she could be a naturalist to where she lives. She has a whole chapter about field guides, and tells the story that when their daughter was 5 or 6, they picked up a field guide. It had a chapter about spiders. One night they randomly opened it to one page about brown spiders and read it. And the very next morning, They found that kind of spider under the back step porch, and the spiderlings were hatching from the eggs. While Claire hovered over the spiderlings and sketched them in her notebook, I wondered over the fact that we'd found those spiders, if we had found those spiders just the day before, we would have known nothing about them. And I was sure on some level that it was learning about them that allowed us to find them. Learning about them allowed us to find them. Whenever I renew a commitment to studying raptors or gulls or crows or the birds in my backyard, more are given, more show themselves. Our efforts are rewarded, our studies are enhanced in experience. I cannot explain this, she writes, and I'm reluctant to sound too woo-woo, but we can take this as confidently as if it came from the oracle at Delphi. The more we prepare, the more we are allowed to see. This is a guarantee. Select a subject, obtain a proper field guide, study it well, and you will see more than you ever have of your chosen subject, and more than that besides. That, friends, is a completely secular description of why we as Christians need spiritual practices. And I think that the Bible is our field guide, and we are being prepared to see God active in our world. Through stories of promise and healing and feeding and teaching and finally the resurrection, we are being shaped and trained to find God's reign, to hear God's call, to notice when the tomb is empty and see resurrection. Today's passage from Luke 10 tells the story of the 70 or 72 followers of Jesus going out to the towns two by two that he intended to visit. So the ministry is growing, and this story will continue through Acts. We know the details. Carry no bag, no purse or sandals. In other words, travel light. And announce the kingdom of God has come near. Eat what's put before you, cure the sick, and if they don't welcome you, keep moving. This time of the church year is all about how we make the story of Jesus our own, about our discipleship as a community and as individuals. These followers of Jesus are preparing his way. They're very vulnerable, and God's grace is what makes it all possible. What is the good news then for today, and how do we make it our own? What is the field guide teaching us to look for? To travel light, to expect to be vulnerable, to announce God's reign, and to depend on God's grace. Now, in the Lutheran world, in the ELCA, nationwide, about 30 or 40% of our congregations do not have a match between resources and mission. In many of our congregations, the care of the building is requiring more of the budget as congregations age. So one of our congregations here in Portland, Bethlehem, as they looked at people and relationships and the building, knowing that they could only do two of the three, chose people and relationships. It gave us the building. We sold it and leveraged new ministry, and they became Vagabond Lutherans. They're traveling so late, they don't even have a building anymore. And they nest with Lutheran congregations in the metro area 4 to 6 months at a time, giving their tithe, volunteering, bringing their children. They're a small group. They still meet monthly at one of their homes for communion and decision making, and they're showing us new ways to do church. Expect to be vulnerable. We spend a lot of time encouraging one-to-one conversations, listening to hear the passions and the pressures of those we meet. In order to listen, we have to open our hearts and listen a long time to discover the themes and the values. Can you listen? Can you be open to being changed by what you hear? Can you share? And then, to announce God's reign. Why does God have Westminster Presbyterian here? I usually get to ask that to Lutheran congregations, and I don't mean to be rude as your guest, but it's an important question. Why are you here? As a sister in Christ and a cousin theologically, it's an important question. Now, I know that if this congregation disappeared, you would be missed. I know that you have local and national and international mission that you support. Keep up the good work. Finally, we need to depend on God's grace to lead us through. We read these scriptures over and over, and it's easy to say to ourselves, oh, yep, there go the 70 again. I'm sure it'll work out. But we need to put ourselves in the place of those disciples. And we need to know again and again about how each day we can depend on God's grace, whether our hearts are full of joy or where they're breaking in grief and everything in between. My heart right now is breaking daily over the crisis at the borders. We're working through our Lutheran agencies to advocate for those folks, and I assume you are as well. I understand that the grace of God gives us the strength to look hard things right in the eye and continue to work for justice and change. The scriptures speak plainly about welcoming the stranger, caring for the widow, the orphan, the sick, the imprisoned and hungry, and calls us to action. So from your Lutheran sister, bless your walk this week as God calls us to travel light, to be vulnerable and open when we listen, to announce God's reign and depend on God's grace, and to keep searching and looking for signs of God's resurrection in our world. Come now to the table and receive God's grace. Amen.